of that effort through our monthly contributions to the International Mission Board and help support that work more. The Lottie Moon and Christmas offering, 100% of that goes to support our missionaries outside of North America. If you'll take your Bible, turn to Acts 23. I'll be reading verses 1 to 11. Out of reverence to God, please stand as His Word is read. Acts chapter 23, beginning in verse 1. Paul looked straight at the Sanhedrin and said, "Brothers, I have lived my life before God in all good conscience to this day." The high priest, Ananias, ordered those who were standing next to him to strike him on the mouth. Then Paul said to him, "God is going to strike you, you whitewashed wall. You are sitting there judging me according to the law, and yet in violation of the law, are you ordering me to be struck?" Those standing nearby said, "Do you dare revile God's high priest?" "I did not know, brothers, that he was the high priest," replied Paul. "For it is written, 'You must not speak evil of a ruler of your people.'" Then Paul realized that one part of them were Sadducees and the other part were Pharisees. He cried out in the Sanhedrin, "Brothers, I am a Pharisee, a son of Pharisees. I am being judged because of the hope of the resurrection of the dead." When he said this, a dispute broke out between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the assembly was divided. For the Sadducees say there is no resurrection, and neither angel nor spirit, but the Pharisees affirmed them all. The shouting grew loud, and some of the scribes of the Pharisees' party got up and argued vehemently, "We find nothing evil in this man. What if a spirit or an angel has spoken to him?" When the dispute became violent, the commander feared that Paul might be torn apart by them and ordered the troops to go down, take him away from them, and bring him into the barracks. The following night, the Lord stood by him and said, "Have courage, for as you have testified about me in Jerusalem, so it is necessary for you to testify in Rome." You may be seated. As we're continuing in our study of the spread of the gospel in the book of Acts, last week we were looking at Paul giving his defense before the crowds that were trying to beat him. He spoke to them in Aramaic and talked about he was just like them. He was zealous for the law. And then he met Jesus, and his life changed. And then, since that point, he's been proclaiming the message of Jesus Christ. Well, the crowd is listening to him up until the point that he says, "And God told me to go spread his message of grace to the Gentiles." At that point, the Jewish people wouldn't listen to him anymore. It's okay if God's grace comes to the Jewish people, but not to the Gentiles. They're too bad to get God's favor. Sometimes we judge people and say, "I don't want that person to have a chance to go to heaven." Now, sometimes we might not be as vocal about it as that, but sometimes we think, "Well, I'm not going to tell him anything about Jesus, or just act like that person doesn't need Jesus. He just needs punishment." Well, we all need punishment. We're all guilty of breaking God's law. But the Jewish people thought, "We're the special ones, and only us deserve God's good graces, God's favor. Only us deserve heaven." Now, if somebody wants to become a Jew, then they can go to heaven. But not just by the grace of God. No, they have to do it our way. And then the crowd was trying to beat Paul. And the commander grabbed him, took him, had him chained, taken into the barracks, and was going to find out why people were trying to kill Paul. And the Roman method of finding out the answer is you take the person they're trying to kill and you beat him until he tells you while people are trying to kill him. So they were stretching Paul out to be beat with the whip that would break open your skin. And the Romans said, well, this is okay. We can treat other people this way. And Paul turns to the guy in charge of the beating and says, you know, is it legal for you to beat a Roman citizen without a trial? And so the guy goes to the commander and says, this guy's a Roman citizen. Now, if you beat a Roman citizen without trial, you could lose at least your position and possibly your life for violating the rights of a Roman citizen. Now, you might say, Paul could have just said that to get out of a meeting. And anybody could say that. Well, if you lied about being a Roman citizen, you got the death penalty. So you didn't lie about being a Roman citizen. And so the commander comes to Paul and says, are you a Roman citizen? Yes, I am. And the commander says, you know, it cost me a bunch of money to become a Roman citizen. Paul said, it didn't cost me anything. I was born a Roman citizen. Well, the price of Roman citizenship was very costly. And there's a similarity here between the gift of salvation that God has given us. It's not cheap. It's too expensive for us to purchase ourselves. God had to buy it for us. When he died on the cross, he paid our debt so that we can be born again and have a new life in Christ. Well, the commander wants to find out what the truth is. He doesn't know what's going on. He doesn't speak Aramaic. And Paul and the Jewish people that are trying to kill him are speaking in Aramaic. So he orders that the Jewish government meet and have an examination and explain why they want to kill Paul. So they bring Paul down before the Sanhedrin, and that's where we are today. Paul goes in front of the Sanhedrin and it says he looks straight at them and then he addressed them as equals. Now, it is said Paul was a member of the Sanhedrin before he went and met Jesus on the road to Damascus. He was at least very intimate with those on the Sanhedrin and he was following their direction. They liked him. As long as he was persecuting Christians. But they don't like him now. And he looks at him and he says, I have a clear conscience. I have done everything right. Now, I like to watch those Law and Order shows. And when they have somebody in there investigating and they... the person they're asking the questions about is lying and saying, but we've got a videotape of you. And suddenly the story changes. The person knew that he was lying. And when confronted with the fact that there's videotape evidence of what actually happened, they change their story. Well, Paul is saying, you can show all the videotapes you want. You will not find that I ever did anything wrong. And then Ananias, the high priest at that time. Now, the high priest is supposed to be the high priest for life. But when the Romans came in, they decided who was going to be high priest instead of God deciding. And so it would change frequently. And there were many high priests. And the high priest ordered Paul to be struck. Remember the story of Pinocchio. Every time Pinocchio told his lie, his nose grew. Well, imagine Pinocchio telling somebody they're telling lies as his nose is growing. That's sort of like what Ananias was doing. Now, we have eyewitness account by a man named Flavius Josephus. He was a historian, a Jewish commander, but later was captured by the Romans, and he wrote the history of the Jews. And in his writings of that time, He said Ananias was a very evil man. He was hated by all and feared. Well, Ananias orders Paul to be struck. And Paul responds a little bit different than Jesus did. Jesus responded when he was struck in his trial, John chapter 18. And verse 23. All right, beginning of verse 22. When he had said these things, one of the officials standing by slapped Jesus, saying, "Is this the way you answer the high priest?" "If I have spoken wrongly," Jesus answered him, "give evidence about the wrong. But if rightly, why did you hit me?" Paul responds a little bit different. You see, Paul's anger flares up a little bit. "You whitewashed wall." Now, Jesus had called the Pharisees and scribes whitewashed tombs before. And so Paul is using sort of like what Jesus accused them of. And a whitewashed tomb, if you go to a graveyard, the graves look very pretty. They're painted with a white, but inside they're full of dead people's bones. They look good on the inside, but inside they're not. And that's what Jesus called the scribes and the Pharisees. And Paul's alluding to that when he talks to Ananias, said, "You're a whitewashed wall. God will strike you. You're here judging me whether I kept the law, and you're violating the law by having me struck." Now, interesting, where Paul said Ananias is going to be struck by God, a short time later he was. During the Jewish wars, a group of Jewish freedom fighters, the Sicarii, captured Ananias, who was hiding in the sewer, drug him out, and they assassinated him. Sort of reminds me of back with Saddam Hussein. They found him hiding in they called it a spider hole, a little hole in the ground where he was hiding from capture. Well, so was Ananias from the Jewish patriots. And Ananias got a judgment by the assassins there. Well, Paul is told by those standing by, "How do you know that you're saying these things to the high priest?" Paul said, "I didn't know he was the high priest." Now, there have been different reasons why that. Paul had been away from Jerusalem for a while, and high priest kept changing regularly depending on the mood of the Roman government. Or Paul could have been saying, you know, the high priest should, anyone that's high priest shouldn't be acting like this, violating the law. Some people also say, well, this is just evidence of Paul's poor eyesight. And it could be a combination of many. This was an informal meeting. The high priest was not wearing his fancy clothes. So it's not like you could recognize him by his clothing. But Paul responded by quoting scripture. Said, and let's look there. Exodus 22 and verse 28. 28. If I can get my pages turned over. Okay. "You must not blaspheme God or curse a leader among your people." Ananias, who was supposed to be God's high priest, had been blaspheming God's direction that Paul was trying to explain to them. But Paul was conveying the message, the high priest deserves respect because of his position, not because of the person that's in the position. In the military, the saying goes, you salute the rank, not the person. If the person is wearing admiral stars or general stars, you're saluting that that person is in the position of being the general or the admiral. Not because you think the person's worth it or worthy of that position. Same thing, God has placed different people in different positions of authority. Your boss, you give respect to your boss because your boss is the person in the position of being the boss. He's the one that writes your paycheck. Now, it breaks down a little bit because you can get a different boss by just moving to a different company, or as Alicia was telling me, to a different country, get a different boss there, as one of her co-workers did. And respect of the position of high priest was due because of his position. Well, Paul says you're supposed to respect your leaders. He said, I didn't know that he was a high priest. And then God gives Paul the insight to see the Sanhedrin is made up of two groups of people, Pharisees and Sadducees. And he gives the message, the reason I'm here is because of my hope in the resurrection from the dead, which the Pharisees believed in, but the Sadducees didn't. At that point, the Sanhedrin is divided. He has planted the seeds about Jesus rising from the dead. As the Pharisees believe, there is a resurrection of the dead. And so the Pharisees go, well, we don't find anything wrong with him. A spirit or an angel talked to him. But the Sadducees were in argument, and they wanted to continue to kill him. And the commander watching all this says they're going to rip him apart. So he takes them back into the barracks. The next night, God says, just like you gave the truth here in Jerusalem, you're going to give the truth in Rome. God has given Paul the instructions that you have a mission that's going to continue. Paul had plans to go to Rome, not necessarily in chains, but God says, you're going to go to Rome. Well, God also always has a plan for us. Even if there's opposition, God's plan always succeeds. He doesn't always explain how, but he's always there. Lord, thank you for this time we would be here, for the truth of your word. I pray that we follow the example of Paul, and we can also say, as Paul did, we have a clear conscience that we have followed you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's take a...